Welcome to The Light of the World, and this is Jerry G. Martin. February is sometimes referred to as the month of love. Valentine's is mid-month. Couples who desire to be married will often select February as their marriage month. As we look at the demise of our culture, one of the contributing factors is the demise of our families. This month, I'm going to be sharing messages about marriage and family. We're going to begin with a message to our single listeners about how God can help you find a mate and help you to be significant even as you are single. If you know someone who's single, invite them to listen to these messages over the next few days. It would be a blessing to them. Then we're going to share some messages to our married couples to encourage you and to enrich your families. Come and go with us as we walk in the light of God's Word.
There was a time when a boy would meet a girl, and if they were anywhere near the age of responsibility, they did all they could to marry each other. Some of you are old enough to remember how many of your classmates out of high school got married as soon as they could. As soon as they graduated, they wanted to be married. Those days are long gone. Marriages seem to be in the decline in our society, and more couples are making a decision to live together without being married. In 2004, there were 5,080,000 unmarried couples living together in America. Over half of all first marriages are now preceded by living together, compared to almost none 50 years ago. Between 1960 and 2004, the number of unmarried couples living together in America increased over 1,200%. The relationship or the arrangement of those living together unmarried are referred to in several ways. When I was a child, every once in a while, you'd hear about somebody who was common law married. We didn't know what that was. They threw the married on there, but it was just common law. They live in common law. As a child, you just had no idea what that meant. And then in the 70s, they start calling it shacking. And now it is cohabitating. But Solomon said in the book of Ecclesiastes, there is nothing new under the sun. And Jesus mentions in one of his teachings a case of a woman shacking in the book of John. The book of John chapter 4 verse 9 through 18, it says this: "The Samaritan woman said to him, 'You are a Jew and I'm a Samaritan woman. How can you ask me for a drink? For Jews do not associate with Samaritans.' Jesus answered her, 'If you knew the gift of God and who it is that asked you for a drink, you would have asked him and he would have given you living water.' 'Sir,' the woman said, 'you have nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. Where can you get this living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us the well and drank from it himself, as did also his sons and his flocks and his herds?' Jesus answered, 'Everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again, but whoever drinks the water I give him will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give him will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life.' The woman said to him, 'Sir, give me this water so I won't get thirsty and have to keep coming here to draw water.' So he told her in verse 16, 'Go call your husband and come back.' 'I have no husband,' she replied. Jesus said to her, 'You are right when you said you have no husband. The fact is, you have had five husbands, and the husband you now have, the Amplified and the New Living Translation says, and that you are living with, is not your husband.'" Jesus takes some time here to minister to this woman who's living in this situation. He is not berating her. He is not trying to belittle her. He's just giving her a statement of the fact. But I want you to notice that in this passage, Jesus is also knowing her condition, knowing what living arrangement she had. Even before he began to talk to her, he offered her the living water of the Spirit of God. But then he wanted her to know. She says, "I want this water." And he said, "Before we get to this water, let's talk about your situation. So today we're going to talk about something here that I've never really explored to this length before. But in our culture and in our country, as we see the phenomenon of unmarried couples living together, I think it is part of the church's responsibility to share out of love and compassion and the spirit of grace, the word of God concerning this living arrangements that we see more prevalent in our country and in our churches. So I want to talk about today the top 10 reasons for not shacking. The top 10 reasons for not shacking. Before we do that, however, I was doing some research and I ran across a survey that was put together where people talked about the top 6 reasons for cohabitating. And I want to show you what those top 6 reasons that these surveyors had said, because there are some reasons that people think that that's a good living arrangement for themselves. Number one, they say that two can live cheaper than one. The second reason, they said a test drive is the best way to find out whether you're going to be happy. You want to test it out first. Thirdly, they say that love doesn't need a piece of paper. Fourthly, they said there is security and support in being together. Fifth, they said we can avoid the painful effects of divorce. And sixth, they said the sex is better. I was just reminded of a song somebody used to say, love is so good when you're stealing it. But that's what they say. And while those who are in that situation have justified and reasoned in their minds the benefits they receive, I want to give you my top 10 reasons for not shacking. And I'm going to go from 10 to 1. Number 10, married couples get more financial benefits. Married couples are entitled to literally hundreds of rights and protections that permeate their financial relationship. By filing jointly, married couples can pay significantly less tax than similarly situated unmarried couples. Dependent health benefits are tax-free for married couples, whereas an unmarried couple is taxed. Married people often receive lower insurance rates, availability and lower cost of loans from banks, employer-sponsored events, free and reduced tuition of spouses of university employees, and family discounts. These are just practical financial reasons. Unmarried partners cannot receive the Social Security survivor benefits that married partners do. Sorry, health care is available to married couples through Medicare and Medicaid spousal benefits. That's not available to those who are unmarried. Married couples get more financial benefits than unmarried couples. Secondly, or number 9, rather, there are some medical life and death decisions that only legal spouses can make. So when people come together and they're living together and they love each other and one of them gets sick, one of them get ill, one of them get to the point where somebody has to make a decision about their treatment, spouses can do that, unmarried live-in people can't. Spouses are allowed to make life-saving decisions for each other without drafting powers of attorney or other complicated legal documents. There have been occasions where people have lived together for years and one of them gets sick and then the family member come in and won't let that other person even visit. I said, that's my boo. Well, you can't visit your boo. And you have no legal right. And they start fighting at the hospital. Dependent health benefits are tax-free for married couples, whereas an unmarried couple is taxed. In cases of medical emergency, doctors can leave unmarried partners out of critical decision-making processes without the legal documents that they have. They are left out. Marriage eliminates any need for those legal documents, although they're still good to have, but when push comes to shove, they'll look to a spouse to decide. I've seen cases where people have passed away that were living with somebody, then they have no influence over the funeral arrangements, or anything else. Some of the family members come in, they take over, and you wonder why you don't have no choice. They don't even want to put you on the program. And you've been living with them and sharing and spending your money, and they say, no, we ain't going to put you on the program. the authorities have to honor those who are legally capable and legally applied to do those kinds of things. Number eight, there are legal benefits that are only for the married. Spouses normally inherit each other's estates without the need for an intricate will. When you come together and you buy your house together and you put all your money together and one person die, you do not have the legal right to that other person's asset if you are not married. You can be married and don't have a will. The spouse is the first person that the court looks to inherit the rest of what you have if there is no will at all. Doesn't happen when you're living together. Divorce laws protect both members of a marriage. If you're married and you're having some difficulties in your marriage and you decide to get a divorce, the courts give you some rights and protection as a spouse. But when you break up as a couple living together, you have no rights and recourse. You just had to get your stuff and go on. The spouse of a U.S. citizen may obtain residency in the United States without a long legal battle. If you marry somebody who's not a citizen, that other person who you marry can come into the United States without having those long legal battles. You can't do that when you're living together. Married people may adopt the children of their spouses easily and cheaply. So if you marry someone, you can adopt their children really easy. Can't do that as easy when you're not married. Number seven, the children benefit when the parents are married. Marriage protects the economic interest of children by providing an economic safety net to their family and the kids themselves. The children of legally married couples are automatically eligible for health benefits from both parents, as well as child support and visitation from both parents in the event of separation. If one of the parents dies, the law provides financial security not only for the surviving spouse, but for the children as well by ensuring eligibility to all appropriate entitlements such as Social Security, survivor benefits, and what have you. Children have an automatic and undisputed access to the resources, benefits, and entitlements of both parents. The sixth reason, it is a myth that living together automatically leads to marriage. 50 to 60% of first-time cohabitators marry the person with whom they cohabitate. That means 40 to 50% don't marry. 76% of the people, when they start living together, report that they plan to marry their partner. But actually, there's nowhere near that number of them that get married. 10 to 30% of those people who live together like that never intend to marry. And those who cohabitate more than once prior to marriage have a much higher rate of divorce, 26% for the women and 19% for the men. The more you stay together, the more you are likely to divorce. It's a myth that living together automatically leads to marriage. Here's the fifth reason you don't want to cohabitate. A cohabitating relationship is much more unstable than a marriage. The average length of cohabitating relationship that does not lead to marriage is 12 to 18 months. Within the first 2 years, approximately 29% of cohabitating couples separate compared to only 9% of those who are married. 29% in the first 2 years break up when they're living together. 9% when they're married. Within 5 years from the beginning of a cohabitation relationship, more than half of these relationships would end even if the couples had married during their time. And 57% of cohabitating couples resolved within 10 years compared to 30% of all first marriages. It is more unstable. The risk of divorce after having lived together, because people will say, well, I want to live together to try it out to see if it's going to work. And then they try it out, then they get married, and it still don't work. What happened? The risk of divorce after living together is 40 to 85% higher than the risk of divorce after not having lived together. In other words, those who lived together before marriage are almost twice as likely to divorce as those who did not live together before they got married. The fourth reason that you shouldn't cohabitate before marriage. Cohabitating unions tend to weaken the institution of marriage and pose a clear and present danger for women and children. A British study found that children are safest when their biological parents are married, least safe when their mother is cohabitating with a man other than her legal husband. Children in the latter circumstances are 73 times more likely to suffer fatal abuse than children with married parents. You know, if they ain't the daddy and you ain't married, sometimes you don't, I don't feel in these kids. Just look at the news and you hear of child abuse and murdering kids and it's somebody she's staying with. And she's trying to keep him there, and so she let him do whatever he wants to the kid because she want to have her somebody, almost anybody. The report presents an evidence that children are 20 to 33 times safer living with their biological parents, married parents, than in any other family configuration. The study also notes that compared with marriage, common law unions tend to have more episodes of domestic violence to women and physical and sexual abuse of children. And also the annual rate of depression among unmarried couples are more than three times those of married couples. He says, if you think married folks are depressed, those living together are much more depressed. Those are some practical things and statistics that are gathered from research to show the differences in those who are married and those who are living together. Now, these last three are the ones I pulled together on the spiritual side. Number three, for those who are cohabitating, those who are shacking, your children and your family members and your friends will discount your testimony. Especially if you claim to be a Christian and you claim to be saved. They know when you come and you say, Pastor, I can't get my kids to do right. They won't listen to the word of God. They won't be obedient. They're rebellious. They won't listen. Your children know that you're in a situation that's not pleasing to God. They can't reconcile the fact that you're trying to tell them to do right when you are living wrong. When you hear a good message from the pastor and you want to share with your friends and your coworkers, they're not going to want to hear it because they know. This is just a matter of fact. I'm not trying to be unkind, but this is just a matter of fact. When you are in an arrangement like that, that means it is a constant day-by-day arrangement that is not pleasing to God. It's a sinful arrangement. Living together, unmarried, is fornication. I can tell you this, the reason it is fornication, if there ain't no sex going on, he ain't staying long. She said, if he won't leave, I said, cut him off. He won't have a reason to stay. Your family members are not going to listen to your witness. They're not going to listen to your testimony. You can't look at your children with a straight face and tell them that they need to obey the word of God. Number two, you will not receive the fullness of God's blessings in your life while in a cohabitating relationship. You have given the enemy a loaded gun to shoot at you every time you come before the throne of God. And you're trying to get right with God, you're trying to pray, you're trying to get something from God, you hear a good message, you want to repent, you want to come up, and you lift your hands before the Lord, and the devils will show you your situation, say, nah, you know you ain't right. You ain't even got no business standing up here. You have given him a loaded weapon that he can use every time you try to approach God. See, when you're standing before God in prayer and you know there's something restricting you, it's a barrier between you and God. And that barrier is that unrepentant, sinful situation. David said this way, who can ascend to his holy hill? Who can come up to his holy mountain but those that have a pure heart and clean hands? That's why Jesus told this woman, I'm ready to give you this water, but let me just check this situation out. Go get your husband. See, he didn't want to tell her. He said, I know you're shacking. He just said, go get your husband. She said, well, I don't have no husband. He said, you said that right. You had five of them. And now you're living with somebody that's not your husband. The implication is you get that right, then you can have all the fullness of God. He said, if you can have this water, I'll give you the water and it will flow from you. It will overflow you. Out of your bellies will flow rivers of living water when you fix that situation. He says, I'm not going to hold it up for you, but I want you to fix that situation. Who can ascend to his holy hill? And number one, when you are a child of God, and you live in a constant state of sin, there are a series of things that will affect your life. There are a series of sin. I'm just going to talk about them. Here's what sin does to you. Sin dirties the soul. And you just always feel like that you're just not right. There's something that needs to be done. Now, when you're an unbeliever, when you're not saved and you're not trying to live for God, you know, you don't have no problem with none of this. You're just gone and you're just doing your thing. But when you're saved, when you've came and made a commitment to Christ and you're trying to live right before God, there is a problem. No pig ever says, "Woe is me, I'm dirty." The pigs don't say that. Because the pig have no concept of what dirty is, because that's his element. But the child of God realizes he's dirty when he sins. This is not right. I got to get washed. I got to get cleansed. I got to get forgiven. I got to get this taken care of. Sin dirties the soul. Secondly, sin dominates the mind. It's always on my mind. I got to get this taken care of. I know it ain't right. There hasn't been anybody that I've talked to that been in this situation when I say, "Now you know this is not right, don't you?" That said, "Oh no, this is right." Yeah, they always said, "No, I know it's not right." They always say that. I know it's not right. I know. I'm going to try to get it together. They never say, not believers, "Oh yeah, this is right. That's no problem. It's right. And I can stand up right before God without any issues, Pastor." They don't say that. They say, I know. I know it's not right. Because it dominates the mind. David says, "For I acknowledge my transgression and my sin is always before me." So if you're a child of God and the Holy Spirit is in you, he's not going to leave you alone about that situation. If he ain't messing with you, you're probably not saved. Because that's what he does. That's his ministry. The Holy Spirit's ministry on the inside of us is to keep bringing us back to right and righteousness. So when we miss the mark, the Holy Spirit says, "You need to get right. You need to confess. That's the difference between a person who's saved and unsaved. When you're unsaved, you just go out and party all night and drink and drug and chase women and lay around. And then you get up the next day, you want to do it again. That's when you're unsaved. But when you're saved and you go out and you do something that's not pleasing to God, you be, "Oh, Lord, I got to, Lord, forgive me." You feel so bad. You grieve the Spirit of God on the inside of you. The Holy Spirit on the inside of you say, "Hey, man, that ain't you. You can't be doing that. What's wrong with you? You better get yourself to that church and get to that altar and get forgiveness, get some prayer." That's what the Holy Spirit does. Now, if he's not doing that in you, guess what? He ain't there. And if he's not there, you ain't saved. Don't fool yourself. Do whatever you want to do if you ain't saved. But if you are saved or you're professing to be saved, the Holy Spirit is messing with you. And he messes with us too, not just those who are cohabitating, the rest of us doing stuff. He's messing with you too. Ought to be. So if he's not, we have an altar call for those who want to be saved. Sin dirties the soul. Sin dominates the mind. Sin disgraces the Lord. An unsaved person sometimes feel bad about what sin does in his life, but a saved person feels bad about what it does before God.
Thank you for joining us today. We're sharing messages about marriage and family. There are many of you in the body of Christ who are single, and you are desirous of a mate. We're sharing with you some words of the Lord about how you can expect God to move for you if you want a husband, and the basic biblical principles that you should employ when you are looking for a mate. God also wants you to know that your life is significant even as you are single. There are many things you can do in the body of Christ. Don't be discouraged. Don't be dismayed. God will use your life right now where you are and get glory out of your participating with him in the kingdom of God. If you want to hear today's message again, I want to invite you to go to our website at lowcf.org, or you can subscribe to my podcast, The Light of the World Daily with Jerry Martin. You'll be able to hear these messages in their entirety. You also have my invitation to be our guest at The Light of the World. Each Sunday morning, we're meeting in person at 16161 Old Humble Road. Again, that's 16161 Old Humble Road. That's just north of the Beltway near 59 North. If you have a prayer request, we will be delighted to join you and put our faith with yours. Call us at 281-964-1393. Again, that's 281-964-1393. Let me remind you of the Beacon Bookstore right here on our campus. You can get Sunday school materials, books, Bibles, communion supplies, offering envelopes. Call the Beacon, 281-441-2885. For the Light of the World, this is Jerry G. Martin saying, may the Lord our God bless you richly, and we'll be with you again next time.